Luke chapter 16 this morning. I promise you I did everything I could to get away from this morning. But as much as I'd like to get away from it or have wanted to all week, God just didn't let me. And even in my struggles this morning, God in His greatness spoke to a fellow pastor that I haven't communicated with in months. Texted me this morning and said, your name came up in my mind and I've lifted you in prayer. So we trust in God's wisdom and help as well. Luke chapter 16, I'm going to begin reading with verse number 19. I want you, as I read this, if you're following along, I want you to pay attention to the words. I mean, you can listen to all of it, but I want you to really zero in your hearing to the words of this rich man. I'm going to begin with verse number 19. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he is comforted, and you are tormented. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence where you are to us, you can't. Neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. There's just no mingling between the two. Then he said, the rich man, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldst send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. And Abraham said unto him, They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he, the rich man, said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets. Can I paraphrase this? Can I add something to this without destroying it? And he said unto him, You didn't listen to Moses and the prophets. Neither will they be persuaded. Wouldn't it be cool to talk to somebody from beyond the grave? Either side. If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. I went to a funeral last week. Funeral of a young man that, I guess it's 2 weeks ago today, that crossed over into eternity. There's uncertainty as to whether or not he made it. Some people said that he did. Some people say that they hope he did. Somebody said that he was pointed in the right direction to make it. One of the preachers that preached at his funeral or spoke at his funeral gave some points to prove that he was in heaven. He was in heaven because he had good upbringing. He was in heaven because he had a good heart. He was in heaven because he wanted to go there. I sat there and I thought, now that's legalism in its finest form. I'm not trying to discredit the hope that some of the family has at all. I wouldn't want to do that. I wouldn't have any desire to do that. But the criteria that was laid out to get him there is not sufficient criteria to get us there. Why did the rich man end up where he ended up? I've preached a message before. I think I've preached it here. I didn't go back and look. Using the title, I believe it was the title of Daniel Stafford's. What damn dives? We don't really know a whole lot about this man. We just know he was a rich man, and Lazarus was at his gate, and somehow, some reason, this rich man ends up in torments. I'm not a big fan, I'm not a big believer of all of the stories that surround us of those that have gone over to the other side of the line of worlds, as it were, and then come back and they have a story to tell. The only valid points that I find in those stories are those that are recorded in Scripture. I don't know about all the others. Here is a story of a conversation that took place on the other side. And I have hauntingly for 2 weeks heard the voice of my uncle crying the words of the rich man. Please send somebody to cool my tongue. I'm tormented. Never had that happen before. It's strange, hauntingly strange, to hear my uncle's voice without ever reading this passage after he died. Again, I'm not trying to minimize the possibility, not trying to minimize the mercies of God or the faithfulness of God that could have taken place, but by all outward appearance, from my vantage point, and then I can hear him cry. Just a drop of cool water. Oh, but Father, would you please send somebody back to my family? Go back to my acquaintances. Send somebody back to all of those people that I influenced wrong. No, I'm sorry. They have the prophets, Moses and the prophets. You didn't listen to them. What makes you think that anybody else is going to listen to somebody that's coming back and claims to be? Won't listen to them either. Lest they also come. Can you imagine? Can you imagine, just for a moment, if we can have just a small glimpse of the reality of what is taking place in this man's existence, in his spiritual existence, it clearly indicates to us that this flame, this torment that the rich man was experiencing, was greater than what he ever anticipated it to be. He never had an idea that it would be this way. I don't know if the rich man was deceived. I cannot believe that he didn't know anything. I think that somewhere in his existence, in his day, there was something that the faithfulness of God had prevailed in his life, and where he had a consciousness about him to know that there was something amiss in his spiritual existence. Why did the rich man end up there? The sad thing is that there's a lot of people that go there because of neglect and apathy. Waiting for a better day. Waiting for better circumstances. Some people go there because of the legalistic forms that we find that I've already mentioned. Some people call it cheap grace. Cheap grace. Is there such a thing as cheap grace? Oh, I know we as humans can cheapen God's grace. God's grace isn't cheap. Some people go there because of sinful practice. Some people go there because of the rejection of light. Some people go there because someone did them wrong. There's hurts developing into bitterness. It's incredible how easily bitterness can creep up unawares and destroy an individual. It is. It's a reality. It's a fact. Unawares. Little comprehension, little realization, just small things, incremental things, and that seed of bitterness begins to grow, and thereby many have been defiled, is what the Hebrew writer says. Father, send somebody back. Send somebody back and let them know that this is real. This is real torment. This is real flame. I'm in such deep desire here. I am in such deep distress here because of my circumstance that I want somebody else who is headed this way to be warned and not come here. What an intensity that must have been going on in the consciousness of this rich man as he is in torments, to realize that there was one who had little to nothing while he had everything in this world. Let that person come. What a messed up mind even then. But then he began to think about his brothers. I am tormented in this flame, he said. Just let it sink in. You say, Brother Ziegler, you're preaching to the choir this morning. I know. But I also know that God wouldn't let me get away from it. I am tormented in this flame. Think of I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. If we could put some emotion into that, if we could put some pathos into that, what would it sound like? I wish I could record what I've heard. Somewhere in the recesses of my subconscious, the voice of my uncle saying those words. Because the reality is, we don't have to go there. The reality is that Jesus said, I am the bread of life. If you are hungering, and you are hungering, if you're a human being, there's something that you're hungering for. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. You say, oh, it's dark around me. I can't see. I don't understand. I don't know what's taking place. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. If you don't know which direction to go, what to do, you don't know how to get there, Jesus said, I am the door by me. If any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me, by Jesus. He is the way. Jesus said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. Jesus told Nicodemus, except ye be born again. Except ye be born again. Cannot see the kingdom of God. And then Jesus laid his life down. He said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him. John records for us in the first epistle, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lest they also come into this place of torments. Will you stand with me this morning? I'd like to think that my uncle's in heaven. It'll be thrilling for me to get to heaven someday and see my uncle. He had every opportunity. He sat in places where you sit. Not in this same building by any means, but he sat in the church services, revivals, camp meetings. Sat under anointed preaching. He had every opportunity. You and I have every opportunity. If we could hear from the other side this morning, we could hear from the side of the rich man, we would hear those same words, lest they also come here. Lest they also come here. And all of their vitriol and all of their hatred and all the ugliness that sin piles into hell. I don't think that the inhabitants want us to join them. don't have to, by the grace of God. By the shed blood of Calvary. The altar is open if anybody needs to pray this morning. What was it that took the rich man there? Whatever the case was, don't let it be your testimony. Let your testimony be the grace of God. The blood of Jesus covers all of my sin. Anybody need to pray this morning? Warren, would you dismiss us in prayer?